Hello, TJers. It's John here. Happy Friday and all that. I hope you are holding up in this delightful heat. I'm loath to complain. Recently, I spoke to Alison Jones. She is the founder of Practical Inspiration Publishing, a pioneering publishing partner for businesses, and also the host of her own podcast, The Extraordinary Business Book Club. We discussed a book challenge that she got involved with a couple of years ago, which I remember her doing. We talk about the state of business book publishing in 2021, tips to be successful, how to get out of writer's block, and whether you should self-publish or not. This conversation is going to be pertinent to a lot of people. I've had people contacting me to get advice about publishing books. There's a lot of business books around. Some of them are very good, some of them not so great. But Alison is someone with an incredible amount of experience, so do listen to what she has to say. And also, listen to the amazing quality of her audio as well. It's something I picked up on, and I'm definitely getting one of the mics that she used for this interview. Details to follow in the show notes. Do enjoy. So my first question to you is, well, it's more of a scene setter, but with a couple of questions at the end, really. So we met a couple of years ago at, I think it was a WeWork space, Graham Alcott's book launch at the time of Think Productive. And I think if I got this right, but do correct me if I'm wrong, you're in the middle of a personal challenge to read 100 books in a year or something like that. So
crazy like that. Yeah.
How did the challenge go? And in the intervening couple of years, what's changed in the world of business publishing?
Yeah, well, no, you're absolutely right. You remember correctly. It was 2019. And I think it was sort of late-ish summer, so maybe September, you know, coming into autumn. And I was not quite on track. By the end of the year, my main criteria for reading a book was how short is it? I was reading like these little, you know, parable-style business books and just little pithy things. But I did it. I finished the last one of the 100 as an audiobook, actually, listening at sort of 1.5 speed at about 8 p.m. on New Year's Eve. So it was pretty much down to the wire.
Wow.
But yeah, and honestly, it's a bit of a blur, but I do, you know, there are books that really sort of stood out. It was a really interesting thing to do. I definitely read more than I would normally have done, which is, you know, great. Because I always think if you're creating stuff, you've got to fill your own well, you know, you've got to be taking ideas in. So it was really good for that. But the next year, 2020, I slowed it right down and I just had one big book a month because I was quite sick of reading short books quickly. So I wanted to kind of luxuriate in books. So I changed the pace in 2020. But yeah, it's I think setting yourself a reading challenge is, it's a fun thing to do. It means you are much more likely to get it done. And there's good social tools now. There's Goodreads and stuff. You know, you can get recommendations. And of course, a book, a really good business book, I think still remains the most cost-effective way of skilling yourself up and the most flexible. And, you know, it's amazing what you can get from a really good book and that kind of, you know, hours and hours with the author's voice in your head.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it seems to me over the last couple of years, you say things slowed right down in 2020 as it did for a lot of people for, as we like to say now, obvious reasons. But but what has kind of accelerated, I think, is the rate at which people have been producing and writing books. So that's one thing, I guess, that's changed in the world of business publishing, a simple kind of metric of volume. I certainly see a lot more coming across the desk at TJ, and you must see a lot in the work that you do. What are the common mistakes that people are making with writing business books? And do you have any kind of best practices for becoming, let's have a lofty goal, becoming a bestseller?
Well, that's great. Great goal. Yeah. Well, I mean, just going back to that point about volume for a minute. Yes, it's really true. You know, we obviously at Practical Inspiration Publishing, we have quite a few of our existing authors get in touch and say, my diary is now completely empty. I'm not traveling. I'm not going anywhere. This is a great time to do the second edition or to do the second book. So that was really interesting. Lots of people who had been thinking about it for a while made it their lockdown project. You know, some people baked sourdough, some people wrote books, and there was a lot of that going on. So in terms of mistakes, how long have we got? You can make a mistake by being too safe, of course. And I think that a lot of people look for the formula, you know, how do you write a business book? And they find those kind of, you know, formulaic approaches. You see it all the time, blog posts and so on, you know, this is the structure to follow. And of course, what you end up with is this kind of Me Too book that doesn't really tell you anything particularly new, and probably doesn't really tell the author anything new. And I think that's important. I think one of the best reasons for writing a book is that it deepens your own mastery of your subject, and it forces you to do some more research and thinking and make new connections. And you know, when you come out the other end, you should have really, you know, be in a different place with your thinking. So I think not challenging yourself and not going, you know, deep enough and challenging yourself enough to kind of really come up with something valuable is probably one mistake. Of course, the other end of the scale is the mistake where you do that so much that you don't actually get the thing finished. So it's got to be a balance in those things. I think also another interesting mistake I see people make, and I think this is particularly relevant for trainers, is you try and sort of replicate the experience of training or being one-to-one with someone in a book. And you kind of have to think of it like the movie adaptation. You know, it's not the same thing. You're not in conversation. You're not in dialogue. You know, it's a one-to-one broadcast almost. So things like, you know, people say quite often, oh, I'd like to make it a workbook and leave space for people to answer questions. Do you know what? People don't really often write in books because, well, they're not really good at it. You know, they don't open flat and there's never the right amount of space. And also you might want to, you know, give it to a charity shop or give it to a friend one day, and you don't want your innermost thoughts in there. So I think, you know, keep the book, the deep dive into the principles, and then by all means have a workbook. But, you know, that's a real reason to get somebody back to your site and have a PDF download. The other big common mistake, I think, is people trying to fit every last thing they know about the topic in their book, and it just kind of dies under its own weight.
You could, that could be volume 2 or volume 3, I guess.
Right. Yeah. Split it up. Yeah. Keep the focus tight. And you asked me about the bestseller. And I think that the best tip I have for that is that it starts long before the book is published or even finished. It starts with you just building your base, you know, so building a community around it, people invested in it, getting beta readers, getting people's engagement in it, you know, talking about the book, socializing the ideas, building champions for the book who are going to extend your reach way beyond your, you know, first contact circle to their circle and beyond. So think about the publications in your area and how you can make contacts there. Think about the people who own the communities that you'll be reaching. Bring them into the book. Invite them, you know, to do an interview or something. So I think it really is about becoming known, talking about those ideas as widely as possible. I think that makes a better book, but it also then creates this, you know, as big as possible body of people who are invested in it and who know about it and who are going to be talking about it to others.
This is surely quite a common thing. I've had it myself in various pieces I've written, and that's writer's block. I've even got a book called The Writer's Block, and it's kind of cube. It's a cuboid shape, and it's just full of kind of spark ideas that kind of trying to get the cogs of your brain whirring again.
Little prompts, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, as someone with a huge amount of experience of publishing and writing, what do you do, or have you got any tips for people to get out of writer's block?
Oh, yeah, loads. I've been there. Yeah, it's really fun. I was talking to Seth Godin on my podcast, The Extraordinary Business Book Club, and he said, start talking. Nobody ever had talking block, which I think is a great way of looking at it. So, you know, if you're sitting there and you're just, the energy is gone. I think this happens particularly for extroverts. And of course, lots of trainers are extroverts. You sit just you in the computer and you can just feel the energy draining out of you, and you're just like, oh, I've got nothing. So stand up, move around, you know, ideally rope somebody in if you can, start talking, maybe even just record yourself, because that will just get you unstuck and start, and you maybe record yourself and then transcribe it later. So that's one idea. And the other thing that I discovered a few years back, and I'm actually teaching now as well, is free writing. And that, you know, that idea of the book you were talking about, those prompts, if you're starting from that place of being stuck, you know, you can kind of keep bashing your head against that screen for a very long time without seeing anything tangible as a result. So if you can put yourself somewhere different, they say, you know, if you want to end up somewhere different, start somewhere different, and a random prompt can do that. But what I've discovered is if you set a timer for 6 minutes and free write is kind of the equivalent of ugly crying, you know, it's just, it's writing that you're it's not for anybody else. It's just for you. It's whatever gubbins is going through your head right now. But you just keep writing kind of at the speed of thought, if you like. And it somehow, the magic happens halfway down the second page. It starts to crystallize together into something that's a toehold. It's actually an insight, or it's a story, or a connection. It's something you can work with. And I always think of it as, you know, if you've got a rusty old-fashioned pump, you know, you start pumping and all the kind of sludge comes out, and then eventually you've got nice clear running water, and it feels a bit like that. So, you know, do change your state, go for a run, go for a walk, stand up, move around. But also, free writing is such a powerful way of getting out of it. And it doesn't have to be for other people. It's just starting to put word after word after word, and to the point where you've got something.
Yeah, that sounds similar to, I think, well, I call it the morning pages, or I don't call it, but yes, it's an idea that I think was first coined
Julia Cameron,
yeah, back in the early 80s or late 80s, I think. And it's the same idea where you have 3 pages of A4 and you just write. It could
Absolutely.
Be anything, you know, not even sentences. Yeah.
But I think the difference is that with free writing for business, A, you can do it any time of the day. She's very much, you capture that kind of subconscious just emerging from sleep state. And it's very much focused on creative work. It's focused on kind of, you know, self-knowledge and all that kind of stuff, which is great. And, you know, honestly, I've done that practice. It is brilliant. But I think, you know, for business, it doesn't have to be that approach. And you can take a question or something that's been nagging at you, or a problem or an idea. And if you make that an open question and then set your timer for 6 minutes and just blast at it, you know, that can be really, really powerful too. So yes, morning pages is absolutely a form of free writing, but I think that there are other ways of doing it that are really useful for business people.
Yeah, great stuff. I've got one more question, and it's more to do with, I guess, the publishing side of things rather than the writing side of things, but it is very important. And I see both kinds of book quite a lot coming to the TJ Book Club, and that's about self-publishing. So in your mind, to self-publish or not, it's obviously very popular to go it alone. What are the advantages and disadvantages of doing this? Do you have any tips either way?
Yeah, it's a great question. And that publishing ecosystem has really expanded in the last 10 years or so, you know, mostly driven by Amazon, I guess, really. So the three options that you have, I guess, are traditional publishing, which is pretty much the same as it always was, where the publisher pays to publish the book and you get a small royalty, you know, off the sales of it. Self-publishing, where you have complete control, you're paying for it, and obviously you get all the revenue from it. And partner publishing, which is what we do at Practical Inspiration Publishing. So the pros of traditional publishing, still reputation, you know, there's no getting away from it. There is brand there. And also, if you're doing a book that has a market in academic institutions, traditional publishers who publish academic books tend to have campus rep teams going in and selling in, and, you know, adoption programs with courses and so on. And that infrastructure is really, really valuable. So there's definitely, you know, still, many of my friends are publishers, you know, there's still a big space for that. Self-publishing, you know, I think publishing is the best thing ever. And I think it's wonderful. And I'd love to teach more people all the stuff involved in it. But, you know, frankly, not everybody is as in love with it as I am. And lots of people feel it's not the best use of their time. So I guess the risk with self-publishing is that you end up with a product that's not as good as it could be, which when it's putting your brand out there is an issue. And the other problem is the infrastructure. So yes, you can put it on Amazon, and Amazon is a big part of the book ecosystem, but it's not the whole part. And if you want your book to be available in bookshops, in libraries, you know, the ebooks are beyond Kindle, of which there are many, you know, Nook and Kobo, and also the library systems like Overdrive and Belinda and so on, then you're going to have to go to the publishing ecosystem, where they have books going to warehouses, reps selling them in. Bookshops won't speculatively order a print on demand book because they can't return it, you know. So you really do need that kind of visibility, inclusion in buyer's guides, sort of reputational familiarity with booksellers. So that's, you know, where we come in, is we've got that kind of publishing infrastructure, but the author has control. So for the people that we're working with, you want control of your intellectual property. Very often the people that we're working with as business authors are using that intellectual property in courses, in workshops, in programs, and traditional book publishing contracts tend to be quite restrictive in what you can do with the intellectual property. And they also want to buy copies. And if you're buying an author discount, that very, very quickly becomes very, very expensive. So again, you know, for as a publishing partner, we say, well, you know, you buy at cost plus kind of, you know, small markup for our overhead, which means that you can afford to buy hundreds of copies of the book, which then really work hard for the business. You're not, if you're a business writer, you're not a professional writer. So when you're saying about becoming a bestseller, it's a bit different, actually. The real impact of that book is should be in your business, because you're going to see the return on investment much more substantially there than you are through the sales of a £20 book, which is sold at 50% discount to the trade. So there are three options. There are no excuses. You know, if you've got a book in you, you can get it out. And if you're rejected by a traditional publisher, then, you know, that doesn't mean it's the end. But I think just think carefully about what's more important to you, you know, the control, the cost, all that kind of stuff, the reputation, getting into institutions, and do your homework and do your research.
Brilliant. Fascinating stuff. Thanks so much for the insight, Alison. It's been a real pleasure talking to you. All the best with Practical Inspiration Publishing, and we'll speak to you very soon.
Really good to talk to you, John. Thanks for your time.